marketing. Is it an art? Is it a science? Actually, it's a little bit of both. Elite Marketing Tips is the podcast to hear from people all over the world about the strange and sometimes dark art of marketing. But it doesn't have to be dark, confusing, or strange. There's an art to crafting a message that converts, and there's a science behind why people make a buying decision. Guests like the one coming up have a really cool thing to share with you. After the show, head to the show notes for ways to get in contact with our guest to find out more, and probably some other helpful tidbits of info. Let's jump into the show now.
It's very different, like 60 degrees. We'd be like, woo, we're out in shorts.
I know, right? I know the last time I was in Chicago was like, I think March of last year. So it's been a year. Like we just barely got out of there. I don't know if I told you the story last time we talked, but we just barely got out of Chicago with COVID and stuff shutting everything down. So
Yeah.
We were.
It's crazy. I know. My son was in New York last year. I think he went like the first week in March for a little vacation. He's 23. Yeah. And he had some friends there and stuff, and they were like basically rolling up the sidewalks, like on the way back, you know, like every day he'd call and be like, well, they closed all the museums today. Oh, now you can only get takeout at the restaurants. You know, I hope he gets home without getting COVID.
I know. Right. It was seriously dicey. Like there was so much stuff shutting down. It's like, is this the end of America? You know, people were like really freaking out about it. So, but we're here now. It's like,
we're still here. We've adapted.
Yeah, we sure
we're adaptable people.
we're bouncy. We're nothing if not bouncy. So, well, I know I've asked you this question before on other shows, but this is a brand new show, different audience. Yeah. What's your company do?
Well, my company helps people to gracefully balance their professional success with their personal happiness. And you may say, well, gosh, what kind of company is that? I am an executive and leadership coach, and I tend to work with high achieving professionals who sometimes have a hard time doing anything but, you know, going, having the pedal to the metal and going 90 miles an hour towards their goals. And sometimes that can result in a lot of stress and a lot of burnout. And, you know, I help people to take a more balanced approach to reaching their goals so that not only are they successful, but they can also enjoy their lives.
Very cool. I think for a lot of executives, that probably seems like an unattainable thing. Like they get into that role and they're like, I guess this is just how life is now. This is reality. Mm-hmm. So how many people have you run into where they express that, where they're like, I didn't realize that I could have a life like that. Like everybody.
Well, very often, you know, it's very interesting because people usually seek coaching when they're running into situations that they don't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. They've tried a lot of different things and they're like, okay, I want to have things be different at work, but I've tried a lot of things and nothing's really working in a lasting way. And, you know, I think that something that you said about reality, perception is reality, mm-hmm. right? We hear people say that all the time, but a lot of times we really need to examine our own perceptions about what's going on, because very often people will say, I want things to be different, but nothing can change.
Right.
And that's a very helpless place to be if you're in an uncomfortable or painful situation and you really don't believe that anything can be different. And I really work on two things with people. One is helping them expand their mindset so that they can start to recognize that actually things can be different and that the individual actually has more power within their control than they may give themselves credit for. And then the second part that I work with them on is developing the skill sets for them to be able to be effective, for them to be able to, I suppose, initiate the change that they'd like to see. And, you know, I see it quite often that people are hesitant to even begin that because they have told themselves that you know, I've been successful until now, and I've gotten here by doing X, Y, and Z, and so therefore I must do X, Y, and Z to continue to be successful. But we've probably all heard that saying that what got you here is not going to get you there, you know, and when you get to a certain level, that's great. You know, everything you've done up until now has gotten you here. But if you want to go further than this, you're going to have to do something different. And often people can't see what that is. And that's very natural not to be able to see it because you haven't been there before. Right. But in many cases, I have been there, or I've seen other people that have made these changes and have been successful. And so, you know, being a guide, being somebody to be the sounding board, to be the advocate, to be there in the corner, to, you know, walk along on the journey with my clients, you know, a lot of times it's very reassuring and encouraging for them to have the confidence to take action to make their lives better.
Neat. Neat. I love that phrase, and I hear it a lot in my line of work as well. What got you here isn't what will get you there. And it's almost like there's a blend of that with you don't know what you don't know. It's like,
so true.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's all kinds of unknown unknowns out there. And if you're not surrounding yourself with people that know more about certain things than you do, it's like, well, you know, like it drives me nuts when executives don't network. It's like, do you think that you know everybody that you're ever going to need to know for like the rest of your life? Like, when's the last time you met somebody new? I'm pretty busy. I'm like, yo, get unbusy. Like, come to some things, right? Get out and just like meet some people. So how would somebody in your position, I'll say, how about you, right? Like, how do you market yourself? You know, how do you get the word out? Like, how do people find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, I have a podcast, and the podcast is called Marketing Mambo. My career before becoming a coach was 100% in marketing from, you know, right from the beginning of my career. I worked in marketing. So it's a functional area that I understand very well. And I also understand a lot of the pain points, and I don't work exclusively with marketers, but I work with a lot of marketers because they know that I understand, you know, the quandaries that sometimes marketers get in the corporate environment. So I do my podcast that comes out once a week. I also am very active on LinkedIn. And to your point about networking, I'm a pretty active networker. Obviously, during this time, it's much more virtual. But before COVID, I did probably at least once a week, I would go to a networking event. I also get a lot of clients from referrals, you know, because I've been doing this for a few years. And so people that I've worked with have been happy with the results, and they tell their friends and colleagues, and I get referrals that way.
Nice. So word gets around. Do you post content on LinkedIn, or do you, like, what's your strategy there? What kind of stuff do you write about?
I actually have a blog that's on my website as well. And I've published a lot of those blogs on LinkedIn, and I write about a lot of the issues that I see people having in the corporate world. I put my money where my mouth is. I also have a book, which is called Winning the Game of Work. And when I first started blogging, a lot of that content became sort of the seeds for the book. And I also, like I'm doing here with you, I actually appear on a lot of podcasts as well, just to share, you know, my gospel about the fact that you can be both happy and successful at work. Yeah. And, you know, that's really my mission in life, because I did spend, you know, more time than I care to share really so focused on quote unquote success that I wasn't always enjoying my life, or I was feeling stressed, or I was coming home and, you know, bringing that stress into my family life and sort of infecting other people with that, instead of learning how to manage it and learning how to shift my own mindset or leave, you know, the stress of work at work. And, you know, I think the more that we can do that, the more it makes the world a better place, right? If we can show up positive, it just makes the world a better place for us and for everybody around us.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. You know, it's almost like we've either forgotten or we haven't quite learned how to use stress to our advantage. And that was me. You know, you're talking about bringing stress home and like, just, you're not yourself with your family. That was me like 10 years ago. I didn't know how to manage it. And, you know, it can be a fuel. It can be a force for good. But if you just try to like squash it down or, you know, depersonalize from it, it can be a problem. You know, something you said before made me think like maybe marketers in general, like a lot of the people that you work with, marketers that are in corporate, like, is that like a more stressful position? Is that why you have so many clients that are in that role? Like, tell me about that. What's their deal?
Marketing is a role that a lot of people have, or the output from marketing is output that a lot of people have opinions about. You know, I've kind of joked many times that because we're Americans and we're exposed to so much advertising and marketing, that even people who have never studied marketing or advertising and don't understand it have opinions about it. And they believe that they know what makes good marketing. And so when you're the person that's within an organization and you're charged with literally creating something from nothing, but having to create messaging to represent the organization, there's a lot of stakeholders. There's a lot of people that have opinions about what that should be. And so marketers have to walk a fine line in being able to communicate the offerings, the brand, the, you know, personality of the organization to clients and prospects, while also respecting, you know, the laws and, you know, what makes a, when I say laws, I mean, in some cases, you know, in financial services or pharmaceuticals, literally laws and regulations, right? There's only certain things you can say and you can only market in certain ways. But also just the sort of laws of marketing, right? Like what makes good marketing? What makes good advertising? What is our objective here? And, you know, I think that sometimes marketing's not a function that's very well understood or respected by people who are not in marketing. And so that can be very stressful, right? That you're trying to, you know, marketers work under deadlines. You know, they have budgets that they have to work with. A lot of times they're working with a lot of other people to get the projects done. You know, maybe they're working with an advertising agency or, you know, a digital media agency. You know, so they're having to develop the strategy. They're having to communicate with a lot of different people. They may be getting pressure, you know, okay, do more, do it more cheaply. Oh, why are we not getting more leads? You know, there is a lot of pressure, right? And it's, you know, marketing typically has to work very closely with the sales department. And, you know, sales people typically are pretty extroverted. There's a lot of pressure on them to bring in, you know, close the deals and that kind of thing. And if they don't feel like marketing's providing them what they need, that often they're very vocal about that. So there is a lot of pressure from a lot of different sides. And then I guess there's one other thing that I've observed, and, you know, both in myself, but also having been a longtime marketing leader, that for many marketers, they tend to be somewhat, I mean, they're great problem solvers, often very creative, and sometimes tend to be people pleasers. And, that can be very difficult. That can be very stressful if you're trying to please everybody, or if, you know, learning how to deal with conflict hasn't been something that you've learned how to do, because there is going to be some conflict.
Yeah, there will be. I mean, it sounds like at its core, a lot of where the stress comes from is like unmet expectations. Maybe people upstream and downstream have these expectations of marketers, and the marketers are like, you know, we're doing the best we can and here's what we're doing. But then even that communication level of, well, here's the transparency, here's what's visible, here's where your money's going kind of thing. Just at a lot of companies isn't there. And then it's just everybody rah, rah, yelling at each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's a certain level of or certain amount of education that's required of the partners that work with marketing. And sometimes the partners might not be interested, or they may think that they understand what's really going on. And, you know, I've actually, on my podcast, this has come up a few times, the whole analogy of the tip of the iceberg. You know, in marketing, we create things that are physical. I mean, sometimes digital, right? But we're creating something, a campaign, a billboard, a TV ad, a email campaign, whatever. And it starts with an idea. It starts with getting a lot of input from other people about what the objectives are and the strategy and all of that. But marketing is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the ideas are transformed into something physical. And you know, if the marketers are really doing their jobs, they're founding what they're doing on strategy and on research, right? That they're looking back at, you know, what's worked in the past. What do we know about the audience? What's going to move them? What should the call to action be? You know, marketers think about that kind of thing. They're being strategic about it. But, you know, there's that's sort of the part of the iceberg that's all under the water, right? Nobody sees that. They don't understand that. I think sometimes people think of marketers as just being like creative people that are just going to sort of like whimsically come up with this ad campaign or something like that. And there is creativity involved in that, but the best marketing is creativity done within a strategic, you know, well-researched framework. And, you know, sometimes people will say, well, I don't like that headline, or why do we use that color, or why is the logo not bigger, or, you know, this or that. And, you know, attention spans are small of many people, but it's not something that you can answer very quickly, you know, so it does make it stressful. And, you know, I guess kind of bringing it back to the whole coaching thing, people in marketing often are really frustrated by sometimes the inability to influence or to, you know, build stronger relationships or to gain the trust of some of their partners within the organization. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to make that happen. And that's something that I help people with. You know, it's like sometimes the advice might be, you're going to have to spend more time developing relationships within the organization. I know that that's frustrating because you're busy as it is, but if you're going to do all of this work and it's not going to be received within the organization because people don't understand what the strategy is, maybe you need to spend some more time socializing the strategy or getting agreement and buy-in on that. So sometimes just being able to diagnose the issue, which a lot of times where the pain point is not actually where the issue is. You know, the issue might be someplace else, but it's showing up, you know, when it's time to approve the ad campaign and people are like, whoa, I don't know. And you're like, okay, I've spent 8 months developing this, right? That's super stressful. If you're thinking like, oh, I'm going to have to, you know, throw this campaign away that I've been working on for 8 months and I've spent, you know, $500,000 on, you know, that would be very stressful, right? That would probably be one of those things where you might lose your job. But if you had to spend a little bit more time beforehand saying, you know what, these are the people within the organization that are influencers or decision makers or important stakeholders, maybe I need to spend a little bit more time talking with them to make sure we're all on the same page before I go and sink a lot of money or time into this.
Right. It's almost like, I don't know if you're familiar with like agile software development, but okay. So it's almost like that approach to marketing would be a good like cross-pollination, you know, instead of this big arduous thing that it's like, this might work at the end, just chop it up in small pieces. Like, what can you do in 2 weeks? Boom, do it. And there's a whole lot less risk. So
absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's interesting that you bring up the whole agile approach to marketing, because that's something in Marketing Mambo that's come up on a number of the episodes, and I actually had somebody on as a guest. It hasn't aired yet, but she's a design thinking consultant, you know, and that's their whole deal. It's just about being agile and, you know, continually trying to optimize, taking small steps, testing and learning. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's a wise approach within marketing as well.
Yeah. It's just, it's wild that there's so many ideas out there that, you know, if you're just hanging around technical people or you're just hanging around marketing experts, like it's almost like there's a body of knowledge that you've got your sandbox. Like this is what you can learn. And then you start hanging out with other people after a while. It's like, huh, that's eye opening. For years, I used to hang around just like software testers and recruiters. And like, that was my LinkedIn network. And I'm like, I have 500 plus connections. Ha ha ha. And then now it's like, ha, ha. Oh my goodness. There's so many wild, crazy people out there. It's just been eye opening. And I make these connections. It's like, I wonder if that would work for marketers. I wonder if that would work for agriculture. It's just neat seeing that. Well, I guess for the final question as we wrap up here is, you know, what is a really just an awesome tip that you feel comfortable sharing for free? Because I know you have a business, right? What's a really awesome tip that you can share with other marketers that would give them an edge in this new post-COVID world that we're living in?
Well, I there's so many, but I think that I would say that, you know, you kind of touched on it, building that network on LinkedIn, because it can pay so many dividends back to you for the investments that you make in it. It can be everything from, you know, finding somebody that has a similar job to you at another company and chatting with them to find out if they've got, you know, ideas about how they handle things. Like maybe you might feel less alone if you know you're not the only person that's dealing with these kind of challenges. You know, if you decide that, you know, you really don't like where you're working, networking is the best way to get a new job, mm-hmm. you know, and just getting to know people. I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny because I was in the corporate world for so long. And so my last job was with a bank. And so much of my network was within financial services. And since I have left that 4 years ago, you know, and I became a coach and an author and a podcaster, my network has expanded so much. And I didn't know how, I guess, sheltered in a way I was. You know, I was living within that like big corporate financial services world. And, you know, I thought I did have a pretty good network in terms of the number of people I was connected with, but the types of people I was connected with were not super, you know, diverse from an industry or outlook standpoint. Right. And now I am exposed to so many different types of people and it really sparks my imagination. So my advice would be get out there and talk to people. It's fun. And who knows where it might lead, either in, you know, a great idea for your next campaign, a lead for your next job, mm-hmm. Or even, I mean, I've met people on LinkedIn that have become my dear friends, mm-hmm. weirdly enough.
Yeah, it's amazing. You would think that a musty old, and I'm doing my air quotes thing, platform like LinkedIn, where it's like, oh, it's just a resume graveyard. Like you can meet some amazing people. And I'm hanging mm-hmm. around marketers more than ever. And I never thought I would be. So mm-hmm. yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're an introvert, extrovert, ambivert, you know, there's somebody mm-hmm. out there for everybody and just get out there and talk. So that's a good piece of advice. That's a good piece of yeah. advice. I hope people take that under advisement. How would people find you? I know you've got a website. I know I've asked you the same question on all the other podcasts, right?
So yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I'm on LinkedIn and my handle there is Terry B. McDougall. And if any of your listeners want to add another person to their network, please reach out to me to get LinkedIn. Happy to do that. I also have a website, which is terrybmcdougall.com. And if you are a marketing nerd like me and Fritz, and you'd like to listen to Marketing Mambo, you can find that at marketingmambo.net or on any of the podcast platforms like Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Google, etc.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's excellent to get the chance to chat with you a little bit more. I think that's one of my favorite things about having a variety of podcasts is I get like a 30-minute slice of a person, and it's like I learn more about you as far as you think about marketing, why it's so stressful. We kind of got into mindset stuff, which, yeah, we got that podcast that we did before, but I get to know you a little bit more. So it's really cool. So I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Fritz.
Anytime, anytime. Well, take care and stay warm up there, all right?
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, listener. Hopefully you learned something really cool in this episode. Marketing is a big, big area and can seem overwhelming, but hearing from experts like today's guest helps demystify it. If you learned something, consider telling your friends about the Elite Marketing Tips podcast here on anchor.fm or anywhere you consume podcasts. We appreciate your listenership.